tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world, and I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends, that you can mend a heart that's frail.
Makes the wounded whole. strengthen every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful.
Welcome, Hope Show listeners. I want to thank each of you for joining me here on the Hope Show today. I hope all of you have had a very blessed week. So another week has passed us by, and here we are again on another Saturday. Friends, are you ready for another day of fellowship? Doesn't it feel good to be here today? Today's message is about the armor of God, and this is part one. There is so much to study about this that it's probably going to be maybe even a 3 or 4, 5 part mini-series. And so at this time, let us all bow our heads for a moment in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for waking us up today. Thank you for bringing us all together on this fine day. Thank you for your word. Thank you that each new day brings another fresh start. With your mercy, grace, forgiveness, and unconditional love, dear Heavenly Father, may your presence fill our hearts and minds today. Please use me as an instrument to get the message out to your people. May our hearts be softened and our eyes and ears opened to receive your message today. Dear Heavenly Father, we are all soldiers for the army of Christ. Help us to put on the full armor of God each new day. Help us to fasten the belt of truth, especially when truth is the hardest thing to reveal. Assist us to put on our breastplate of righteousness, and help us to be good to others in our daily walk with you. Help us to strap on our shoes of the gospel of peace, so that we will not be at war within ourselves or with others. In all circumstances, strengthen our shield of faith to guard against the enemy. Father, your ways are perfect, and your promises prove true. You are our shield and our protector. We give you all the praise and glory. We pray in Jesus' name, and all the people said, Amen. Thank you all for taking a time out to join me in a moment of prayer. So let us begin. How many of you know who Priscilla Shire is? For those of you who do not know who she is an American author, motivational speaker, actress, and Christian evangelist. She, among others, have been one of my favorite actresses and motivational speakers and televangelists for a very long time. I have purchased many of her Bible study guides and her movies, and have been richly blessed by each and every one of them. Today's message is based off of one of those Bible studies. Some of you may have already studied the armor of God. Some of you may have never even have heard of it or Priscilla Shire. It doesn't matter whether you have studied it or not. The material is just so good, and it's so rich with blessings. It is something that we all need to be reminded of again and again. I have studied the armor of God, but every time I go back through the book and I look at the notes that I took, I get something more out of it. So let's begin in Ephesians 6:10-19. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray. Paul wrote the book of Ephesians. It's a formal letter. It deals with such topics as at the very core of what it means to be a Christian, both in faith and practice. Friends, we were all dead once in our transgressions and our sins, but have been made alive because of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. First thing I want to talk to you about is sizing up the enemy. Friends, the devil is a very real enemy. He is alive, and he is lurking around to seeking to devour souls. You cannot stand up against him if you don't put on the armor of God each day. Let me remind you of what the armor of God is and what it should look like for each of us. This next exercise may be difficult for some and easy for others. I am a visionary person, and I learn far better by seeing and doing things for myself. But please, I want you to try to envision yourself with a sword in one hand. This is the Spirit, or the Word of God, the Bible. Now let's move on to your head and envision yourself wearing a helmet. This is your helmet of salvation. This is when you accept the faith in Jesus Christ in your life. Now let's envision your chest. You are wearing a breastplate, much like those worn back in the medieval times that cover your torso and your back to protect you from deadly injury. The breastplate you are wearing is the breastplate of righteousness. Then, around your waist, you wear a belt. This belt is called the belt of truth. And in your other hand, you carry a shield. This is the shield of faith. And now, envision your feet. On your feet are the shoes of the gospel of peace. Wearing the armor of God is the key to righteous living. Without it, we are setting ourselves up for failure. Each morning, when you wake up, take a moment and spend it with God. Be in fellowship with God, studying His Word. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be ready for any circumstance that will come your way that day. Forget all those images you have in your head about what you think the devil looks like. We have all seen too many movies on television where the devil looks like he is red in color, with horns coming out of his head, and he's wearing this ugly face, this mad ugly face. But folks, television is not real. The devil is real, but television is not. Anything you have seen on the media is not real in regard to what the devil looks like. The devil disguises himself as Christ so that you will not be able to discern right from almost right. Did you catch what I said there? You won't be able to discern right from almost right. God's ways are always right and perfect, but the devil is so sly and he's so clever and sneaky. And he tries to mimic God by getting into your head and twisting things around so that what he says seems justifiable and right. But folks, there is always, always a flaw in the devil's plan. If we do not know the true word of God, then we will easily be deceived. And there's always an invisible battle taking place between good and evil in our mind. The day you put your faith in Jesus Christ, your eternal address changed from a place known as hell to a place called heaven. It was the day you passed from darkness to light, a day in which you found new purpose and meaning. It was also the day in which spiritual war began in your life. Conversion made your heart and your mind a battlefield. You came to realize, like so many others, that not only is there a God that loves you, but there is also a devil who hates you and wants you to pull you back into your old ways again. You should never underestimate Satan. Like I said before, he is sly and he is clever and he is skillful. And he has many years of experience in dealing with humanity. Though he is a powerful force to be reckoned with indeed, he can be overcome. Satan is nowhere near being the equal of God. Listen to this. Only our God is omnipresent, meaning God is everywhere at the same time. Only our God is omniscient, meaning our God is all-powerful and all-knowing. There is nothing going on that God isn't already aware of, past or future. Only our God can work miracles. Only our God is eternal. The devil, in a sharp contrast, does not reflect the same divine attributes as God. Satan is more powerful than man, and even most angels. But his knowledge is limited. He cannot know all of our thoughts like God does. Where God can be everywhere at all the time, Satan can only be in one place at a time. However, Satan does not work alone. He has his minions, his demon forces that wreak havoc on our lives just as he does. But the good news is that Satan may oppress us for a time in our life or a season, but if you are a Christian, neither the devil or his demon forces can ever take control of your life. That's some good news, folks. Praise God. When you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you came under his protection. He placed his ID on you. And now listen to this. This is so beautiful. I love this. He placed his ID tag on you that says, Property of Jesus Christ, bought with the blood. And having said that, it doesn't mean that the devil can't try to lure you out of God's protection and draw you into his web of deception. That's why, as a child of God, your objective should be to stay as close to the Lord as you possibly can, and keep as much distance between yourself and the devil as possible. The devil can, and does, even use our friends to catch us off guard and cause us to stumble. This is why it is so important, friends, to put on the full armor of God every morning. Know your Bible, so that you know when something comes up in your life that's questionable, you'll know whether that is from God or the devil. The difference between Satan's accusations and the Holy Spirit's conviction is that Satan will always drive you from the cross, and Jesus will always bring you to it. In Colossians 2:15, the Bible tells us, speaking of what Jesus accomplished at the cross, says, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. At Calvary, the devil lost his foothold and stranglehold on the life of the human race. This means that each of us can be set free by the power of Jesus Christ. I know I've said this before, friends, and I'll probably say it many, many more times, but this is so good. This is a good one to remember. That's why I keep repeating some things, because it's a point of interest. It's something that you need to know and you need to remember. And I find that it helps me a lot in my own daily walk with God. Maybe things aren't going as planned on any given day. Things come up that will slow you down. Things come up that change your direction for the day. At the beginning of the day, and perhaps you'll set out to do this, and now something else has came up, and you have to rearrange your plans. Friends, you have to learn to be flexible and not let the devil get to you. When you start to feel your nerves getting all stirred up, or your temper getting out of control, or your heart rate speeding up, anxiety coming over you, remember what I'm about to tell you. Remember this. But I know that this won't be the last time you ever hear this in my messages, because I believe it is so important to remember. God stills you, reassures you, leads you, enlightens you, forgives you, calms you, encourages you, and comforts you. But quite the opposite. Satan will rush you, frighten you, push you, confuse you, condemn you, stress you, discourage you, and worry you. Can you see the differences there? The very stark contrast between what God is and Satan is. So I want you to try to remember this the next time something comes up in your life. Ask yourself, the moment you are feeling anything but peaceful, ask yourself, how am I feeling? Put a name on it. Be descriptive. For example, I'm feeling in a rush. I'm angry. I'm stressed out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be so late. My feelings are hurt. I'm feeling resentful, etc. Friends, if you are feeling rushed, frightened, pushed, confused, condemned, stressed out, discouraged, worried, negative, then you have given the devil a foothold into your mind. Basically, if you're feeling anything less than peaceful and calm, the devil is working on you. Now, the next time all those negative feelings start brewing up within you, recognize where they're coming from. Name it and claim it. Take a deep breath. Let it out. Regroup and say, Satan, I know what you're up to. You almost had me there, but not today. Satan, get behind me. I don't serve you. Friends, if you do this, Satan has to leave when you tell him to. In Jeremiah 1:5, the Bible tells us, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Friends, God has the ability to change your circumstances, and he does. But sometimes he chooses not to, because he is growing us in a certain area of our life. Without the life lessons, we wouldn't grow. We wouldn't be as knowledgeable. We wouldn't have reason to exercise our faith and hope. God is our Heavenly Father. Like our biological parents on earth, a child will not grow to know right from wrong or how to become independent problem solvers if the parents keep bailing them out of their messes all the time, time after time. They won't learn anything. Friends, just like some of you out there, I have made plenty of messes in my life. But I can honestly tell you that I would not be the same person I am today if I hadn't experienced the messy times in my life. I give God all the praise and the glory for everything in my life, the not so good times and the good times. So now that we have sized up our enemy, I want to go ahead and start talking to you about that wrestling match in our mind that we struggle with every day. So we all struggle in our mind. The mind is the battlefield. There's a wrestling match that goes on in each of us every day between good and evil. Sometimes at the end of the day when we get back home from work, we feel like we've been hit by a wrecking ball, don't we? We are physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually exhausted. But is it any wonder? We are under spiritual attack every day. All day. Let's go back to Ephesians 6:12 for a moment. It says, "For we wrestle," some translations in the Bible will say struggle, "not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places." To wrestle with something means to enter into a contest or fight between opponents, in close proximity, hand-to-hand combat, and with the goal of defeating one's rival. For all of you sports fans out there, you're on it. You know what that means. You understand. Sometimes wrestling can mean something different, but very similar to that in sports, but in our real everyday life. We mentally and spiritually wrestle with people that we come into contact with every day. Everyone is different from one another. No two people think, act, or behave alike. It would be boring if we did. Perhaps there's a specific person in our life that we can't seem to find a resolution with. It could be any number of circumstances in our life. Is there a specific person or persons that come to mind while I'm talking about this? In what ways are you currently wrestling with this person, mentally and emotionally wrestling with this person or circumstance? Make a mental note of yourself right now. Before we get any farther into this, make a mental note to yourself about that person, persons, or circumstance that you're wrestling with. Whatever has come to your mind, whether it's a person or a circumstance, whoever or whatever it is, friends, let me say this. Now listen to me carefully. It is not your real problem. Let me say that again. It is not your real problem. That person, those people, that circumstance, that is not your real problem. The most troubling things in your life, the things that you perceive with your five senses, is not the real issue. What? That doesn't even make sense, you say. Though you may be wrestling with them verbally, emotionally, financially, maybe even physically, but I hope not, you are wasting precious time and energy that needs to be reserved for the real culprit. Save your energy for the one behind the scenes that's constantly stirring up all that drama in you, the one that is directing all the details of the circumstances in your life. Friends, everything that occurs in the visible is directly connected to the wrestling match that we experience being played out in the invisible realm. The real enemy isn't a person or circumstance. It's the devil. The devil wants you to ignore the spiritual reality behind the physical one. If he can get you to ignore that, then he can continue to run away with your life underneath the surface. It is said that what you perceive in your inner world, you will create in your outer world. The more you allow the devil to rule your thoughts and actions, the more damage he will do. Satan may be invisible, but he is very real, folks. He is very real, and he is very persistent, folks. Let me tell you, he is real, but even though he may be invisible, he's there, and he's persistent. And he knows all the ins and outs. He spends lots of time studying you. We can see the effects of the war going on in the invisible realm by taking a look at our damaged relationships, our emotional instability, our mental and physical exhaustion. Some of you may be feeling pinned down to something. For an example, maybe you feel like you're pinned down to this anger raging inside of you. Maybe you're pinned down by unforgiveness for someone. Maybe you're pinned down by your own insecurities or your fear. Maybe you're pinned down by just the chaos that is in your world right now. But I can guarantee you, friends, that your primary problem is the devil. It's not all that other stuff. It's the devil behind all that stuff. Have you ever felt like that despite your best efforts at fighting back, you still feel defeated at the end of the day? You don't feel very strong. And yet, at another point in your life, just when you thought you were completely defeated, something changed and you were victorious after all. You're free and you're back on your feet. Does anyone know why this occurs? Does anyone know why this occurs? Well, I'm going to tell you. God rushed in to save your day. You don't have to be physically strong. You just have to be strong in the Lord. We are reminded of this in Ephesians 6, 10, and 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Being a believer does not mean that you will not have battles in your life, folks. Trust me when I say that. It doesn't mean that you're immune, that you have immunity to battles in your life. But when those battles arise, you have access to the Father, His power to defend yourself. His word can reverse what is being done to you. If you want to win the battle, then armor up, folks. One of the most important aspects of our spiritual armor is prayer. And please forgive me, I forgot to mention that earlier. I am so embarrassed to admit that. Prayer is always, always, always vitally important. Prayer can change the whole trajectory of our lives. Victory in spiritual warfare is impossible without prayer. Let me ask you guys a question. How can you put on or take up things if you don't know you have the ability to do so? The first step to answering that question is realizing that you do have the ability to put on or take up. And Satan doesn't want you to know that. He doesn't want you to know or to realize that you have abilities. The next is utilizing the spiritual resources we have been given. For example, the Bible, our mind, our eyes, our heart, our soul, just to name a few. If you don't study the Bible daily, you won't know. You won't be prepared when you really need help. You have to be able to see it. And if you don't read and study the Bible and fellowship with the Lord and pray over your circumstances, you won't see problems coming, and you will be blindsided to what just hit you. The key, folks, is understanding. The key is prayer. The key is putting on the armor of God. The key is truth, the Word of God. I want to pray this over each of our lives before I go on to a short break. Lord, we come before you asking for discernment. We ask that you would open our eyes more fully in the days, the weeks, the months and years ahead of us. Help us to detect the enemy's activity. Help us to be more aware of the resources that you have given us so that we can disarm and defeat the devil in our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. This first song is "The Battle Belongs to the Lord."
That's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power and strength to the Lord.
Yeah. losing friends and I'm chasing sleep. Everybody's worried about me. In too deep, I say I'm in too deep. It's been 2 years, I miss my home. But there's a fire burning in my bones. Still believe, yeah, I still believe. And all of those things I didn't say, wrecking balls inside my brain. I was screaming loud tonight. Can you hear my voice this time? This is my voice. In the motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. This is my fight song. Take back my life.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me on the Hope Show today. For those of you who are just tuning in, I'm happy you decided to do so. Later on after the show, my podcast will be uploaded to shaziz.net. Go to the upper left-hand corner at the menu icon, click on that, then you can scroll down to Show Podcasts, click on that, and then look up the Hope Show Return Podcasts. You can also find the Kara Music Hour by doing so also. So anyway, do that. Click on and look up the Hope Show Return podcasts. Today's message is The Armor of God, Part 1. While you are there, check out some of the previous podcasts too. Share them with your friends and help to get the Word of God out to as many people as possible. I won't recap today because there's just so much I want to share with you. But please, do go back at your convenience and listen to the show from the beginning. As we've been talking about in today's message, Satan is very real, just as God is. Earlier I mentioned that what we perceive in our inner world, we create in our outer world. As we are busy living out our beliefs about the spiritual realm, we tend to make one of two mistakes regarding our belief about Satan. We either overestimate his impact in our lives, living with an inflated perspective of his actual influence and abilities, or we underestimate him and miscalculate the impact of his influence on our lives, prioritizing what we can see over what we cannot see. Which one of these extremes do you most relate to? Can I make a confession, folks? In my earlier years, I most identified with the second one. I underestimated the devil. I thought I had control of the direction of my life. I thought I was smarter than to fall for the devil's lies. But guess what? I discovered that I was not in control. And I most certainly was not as sly or clever as the devil. Do you have an inflated perspective of his actual influence and ability? The Bible tells us that if we confess our faith in Jesus Christ, then the devil has no power over us. Or do you underestimate and miscalculate the impact of his influence in your life, as I once did? It is human nature to primarily focus on the visible things around us. But the enemy's approach is cryptic, meaning he keeps his activity so cleverly hidden that we almost forget his existence. We have become a culture that is mostly unaware of the devil's existence, unaware of his conspiracies to destroy our lives, and we're completely unaware that he is distracting us from reaching our destinies. Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. He takes the desires of your heart, and he makes everything look so sweet and tempting that you just can't resist what this world offers. But folks, it is your job to undisguise him, uncover him, unveil him, and unmask him. The devil doesn't want this, of course, because if you reveal him for who he really is, then you become a threat to his influence over your life. Remember I mentioned our vision earlier and how important it is to have eyes to see? Friends, one of the most critical roles our vision plays is helping us to detect the enemy as he is lurking around for a soul to devour. If you recognize the enemy, then you begin to realize that he is at the center of some of our biggest difficulties. The devil wants you to fall for his deceptive tactics. He wants you to fall for his dirty tricks. They are designed to manipulate God's truth and draw you further away from God. The devil wants to draw you further into sin so that your fellowship with God is broken. Satan knows that your true power and strength comes from God. So if he can draw you away from God, then you will remain weak, without hope or faith. Then Satan has you right where he wants you. This is why he chooses to stay hidden as much as possible. He wants to lure you away from God so he can destroy you, render you powerless, and have you for himself. Think about this for a moment. Think about this. When temptation comes along, it appeals to a specific desire that we have. It is specifically tailor-made to each and every one of us. Because what one person desires is not the same as another. The fact that you are having such specific temptations is no accident. The lack of peace in your relationships is not coincidental. The temptation that creeps into your mind when you're feeling weak, it's not uncalculated. This is all a part of Satan's plan for our distraction. So let me ask you this, and let's be honest, okay? Let's be honest with yourself. What are you tempted by? What is your kryptonite? Think about that for a moment. What instantaneously comes to your mind when I ask these questions? What are you tempted by? What is your kryptonite? Friends, I've always been honest with you, and I'm not going to change. I'm going to let you in on something. My kryptonite is a certain type of music mixed with a certain type of atmosphere and my favorite drink. Can anybody relate to me out there? So, knowing that, I try very, very hard at all costs to avoid places and situations that draw me back into that old lifestyle. The enemy is in heavenly places. We have a weapon, the Word of God, and it is designed to achieve victory in heavenly places. We don't need any other weapon but the word of truth to set us free. It used to mean way back in ancient times that to be seated was a symbolic posture of an army that had been victorious in battle. Instead of a king standing, pacing, showing anxiety, he would firmly plant himself down, sit down, be seated on the throne, as a visible statement of victory. The Lord is our King, and He is seated in heavenly places. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The Lord is our King. He is seated in heavenly places. This is a proclamation that the ultimate victory over the enemy has already been won. When you proclaim your faith in Jesus Christ, you too are seated in heavenly places. The cross was the final step in sealing the claim of victory. Satan has been disarmed, overruled, rendered powerless, and all of his hard work has been destroyed. So to put it in sports terminology, you have the home court advantage. Amen. Amen. Yes, we still live on earth. Yes, there will always be something to deal with as long as we live on earth. Yes, relationships will continue to be hard, but because of our spiritual location, remember that new address, we have hope for our future. Satan knows that he cannot destroy you. It's much too late for all that. The most that Satan can do while we are still on this earth is to make our time on this earth as unproductive and as uncomfortable as possible. Fill us with discouragement and anxiety. He can try to lure you into sin and away from God. He can try, but as long as we have eyes on the prize in heaven, then the battle has already been won for you and I. Satan cannot unseat you. Satan will work against you day after day. In many areas of our life, things have become a little too comfortable, a little too lazy. We have been spoiled by many, many different little types of luxuries. And even in our church life, don't allow all of this to lull you to sleep. We cannot allow the luxuries of this world to dull our alertness or curb our fighting edge needed to defeat Satan. Things have been compromised in our communities and yes, even in our churches to make way for more fun, more pleasing to the eye things, more comfy cozy for us and for our children. But folks, what about the truth? The truth! Talking about Satan and hell, those things don't make us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. It's not a fun topic, but we cannot be lax in these matters. We must be armed with the Spirit, the Word of Truth, the Sword of Truth, and all the other resources made available to us. As I said, the sword, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, prayer, the shoes of the gospel of peace, and the belt of truth. The enemy celebrates our lethargic living. He tries to convince us to put away our armor of God and to not wear it. He has you right where he wants you if you don't wear your armor. Then you lose all the fight and the passion that's in you. You suddenly find that you just really don't care that much, and that you have lost hope for change in your life. And when this happens, then you stop asking God for things. You stop seeking God. Friends, wake up. Wake up from your sleep. Maybe you don't care right now. Maybe you're not even sure that you want to care. But through prayer, you can get your want to back. Don't give Satan the foothold into your mind. Be vigilant and alert at all times. You cannot let your guard down, not even for a moment. Priscilla Shire is quoted as saying, "Believe and receive, then utilize what you've been given by God." Why is the armor of God so important? By putting on the armor, we activate the strengthening process. It is kind of like your phone being plugged into your phone charger. When your phone goes dead and loses its ability to function, then the only way to revive your phone is by plugging it in to the phone charger, the source of power and strength for your phone. And that is how God works through us, with us. We get tired. We get frustrated. We get derailed. We have insecurities about ourselves. We are easily distracted. We lose signal. We find ourselves on roaming, or our bodies keep searching for the signal. Perhaps we unplug from our charger and we lose our ability to function. But just like our phone, everything is subject to a price that may not be in our God-given plan. You know what I'm talking about. But praise God, He is our strong tower. He is our signal. With God, we don't need to roam. He is our power source. He strengthens us. He charges us. He puts the passion and the fire and the fight back in us. He renews us and brings us back to life so that we can all fight the fight. We have to be consistent about plugging in to our power source and be faithful. Friends, spiritual warfare does not take a day off. It does not go on vacation. We must choose to engage each piece of the armor daily to see the victory in our life. God is working in each of our lives right now. Lethargic living is not an option for you and I, especially not because the enemy is lurking, seeking a life to destroy. Don't let the enemy catch you sleeping. While you are sleeping, Satan is stalking you, invading your privacy, studying your every move, and plotting his next move on you. Most of the time, the reason Satan gets one over on us is because we make his job way too easy, because we don't pay close enough attention to what is happening around us. Keep a close eye on your strengths and your weaknesses. These are the most likely targets that the enemy will make his attack against you. So what is your plan, folks? What is your plan? Do you have one? Your enemy has a plan to fight against you. His attacks are highly calculated, precise, and random. This coming week, friends, I challenge you to come up with a battle strategy of your own, something to take down the enemy's plan that is meant to harm you. We can't keep going through life blindly if we want to have victory over the spiritual battle in our mind. Prayer should be your biggest strategy. Prayer is the mechanism that brings down the power of heaven into your life circumstances. It is a divinely authorized method that activates your spiritual armor. Like plugging in, folks. It's a divinely authorized method that activates your spiritual armor. And friends, let me tell you, it is highly effective. Let's start taking back what belongs to us. In Ephesians 6:18-19, the Bible tells us this: "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert, all perseverance and petition for all the saints and pray on my behalf. Friends, prayer is what holds our armor together. Your prayers need not be fancy. They don't need to be of specific length. Your prayers just need to be authentic and heartfelt, specific to what your situation is and what you want to see accomplished. Truth, the Bible, is our compass. Never lose sight of it. Here is a quote from Richard A. Burr, and it reads like this. One word, prayer. P-R-A-Y-E-R. Prayer releases all your eternal resources. Think about that this week. Let's please bow our heads and join me in a closing prayer. Father God, we thank you for being our power source. We thank you for always being there for each one of us. We thank you for the resources you have given us. Thank you that we are loved by you and our sins are washed away. Father God, please remind us each day to be open to what you want us to do. Show us how to use your hands and feet to do something for someone every day. Please give us understanding of what is true and right in every situation. Father God, thank you that by faith in your power, we are protected from temptation and wrong desires. Keep us from such harmful things and continue to increase our faith in you daily. Please give us the desire to read the Bible, and not only to read it, but to understand and obey it. Keep that fire, that passion for knowledge, burning within each of us. Please guide our days and remind us to bring all of our problems and petitions to you as they arise each day. Keep us alert and focused on you. And in Jesus' name, and all the people said, amen. I nearly forgot, folks. Last week I mentioned that I was adding a weekly segment to the Hope Show, that each week I would be giving three testimonies to God's goodness in my life for the prior week. Some of you might ask, wouldn't one testimony be plenty? And my answer to that question is, God's goodness is so great. Don't put God in a box. Why not go big? Honestly, can you wrap up all of God's goodness into one testimony in your life per week? I can't. God blesses me and my family so richly that I cannot sum up all his blessings in just one testimony. So here goes. My first testimony for the week. Our roof has been in poor shape for a while, and God has blessed us with the money and the contractor that is within our budget to get a new roof. So by this time next week, folks, we will have a new metal roof. Praise God. Testimony number two. We had developed a septic tank problem, and our hot water heater had rusted through the bottom. So we have been heating water in the microwave to do things that we needed to do, such as dishes and the like. For showers, we've been having to go over to our daughter and our son's house. They're on our same property, but it's still an inconvenience to have water for a hot shower. A friend led us to a friend, and God, once again, has blessed us. The contractor came out a few days ago. He fixed our septic problems, and he installed a new hot water heater. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't God just the best? Testimony number three. It has been a full week with trying to help my mom, trying to get the lawn mowed before the storms hit, and a number of other things. And I was really running short on time to prepare for today's message. But God made a way. After all, he is the way maker and the promise keeper. Can I get a big amen? Praise God. Friends, don't forget to praise God in every situation, every blessing, big or small. God is so good. He is so gracious. He is so merciful. So, I want to say this. Thank you once again for joining me. Please come back next week to hear part two of The Armor of God. And so, until we meet again, same time, same place next week, may God richly bless you and yours, watch over and protect you, and Shaziz and I, along with our daughter Kara, send all of our love out to each and every one of you, and we thank you for your love and your support. Thank you.
Bye. when we're on our knees, the enemy trembles.
We will fall.